Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit kia.com to learn more. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Oh, everybody. Welcome to Lions Watch. It's 43 days until the European Championship. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. We're back, baby. It's Lions Watch time because the Euros are on their way. Luke and I will be with you every single Thursday between now and the start of the tournament to discuss the latest news around the England squad, take your questions, and hear about some of the daftest takes out there in the media with the take thermometer. It's back, Luke.
Ooh,
it's happening.
Spicy.
It's not going to be raw. It's going to be spicy. It's going to be your one-stop shop for everything about the England team. So hit subscribe to never miss an episode. And if you're on Apple Podcasts and can see that pause button in the top right-hand corner of your phone, tap it now to turn on your downloads. And if you see the option to turn on automatic downloads, hit that as well, because that ensures the next episode of the Football Ramble is always ready and waiting just for you. It saves you a bit of time and also really helps us out. Right, Luke Moore. Let's get down to it. England, it appears, are out-and-out favourites with the bookies pretty much across the board, which is quite something, really. How do you feel about that? And as England fans, should we be excited or full of dread because of that?
What could possibly go wrong? can we find a way for them on that basis alone to hand us the trophy now?
Yeah.
For safekeeping, we'll probably win it anyway, saving a bit of the admin, get ahead of it. If we don't win, in the unlikely event that we don't lift the trophy for real, we'll obviously hand it back. We've got a great reputation in this country for doing that kind of thing. You could trust us. We would never keep a valuable artifact any longer than we're supposed to. So maybe we could have it for now. No, I mean, I think... what do I think? I think it is true to say that bookmakers across the land, England are favourites to win the Euros this summer ahead of France, Spain, Germany, who are the hosts, of course. And that is the first time I can remember that being the case. Now, what normally happens in my experience is that because of the way betting works, England do tend to be a far shorter price than they probably should be because people tend to overrate England, particularly in England. People like to bet on them to win things for a kind of passionate betting play, which then means the bookmakers will reduce the price for obvious reasons. I haven't got to go into too much detail about how the gambling industry works, but basically that's what happens. However, I don't remember seeing England out and out favourites across the board, regardless, when up against teams who have done amazingly recently and teams who are, for example, have got a great pedigree in this competition and are the hosts like Germany. So it is an interesting one. But if you look at the quality of talent that England have, particularly in certain key areas, you can kind of understand it as well. So should I be excited? Well, people should be excited anyway. Mm. People should be excited going into the last couple of weeks of the domestic season and into a big international tournament. If you're a football fan, you won't need any extra encouragement to be excited, but I would treat it with a bit of caution. How does it make you feel about it, Marcus? Do you think it'll affect the players? Do you think it'll affect the preparation? Presumably not, but you must have a take on this yourself.
Yeah, I don't think it'll affect the players. I think the players know what an opportunity this is, as they have done in the previous two tournaments, really, in the Euros which were Euro 2020, as we call them, even though it happened in 21, and of course the World Cup recently. I think that the expectation on England is huge in England in this tournament, and I think that is a result of the quality that England have, but also looking at some of the other sides, perhaps the perceived lack of quality that some of the other teams have. I don't think anybody, despite them being the holders, I don't think too many people would say fancy Italy. Now, every tournament, okay, maybe not one or two of the recent World Cups, but every tournament, certainly when we were growing up, Italy were always among the favourites. Germany as well. Obviously, them being the host nation and still having some good players, you know, you look at them, but not that many people are backing them. It's not a brilliant Netherlands side, for example. Spain as well. So I think these teams could still do things, but I think people are not just looking at England when they have them down as favourites and think, oh yeah, well absolutely, we don't care what anybody else is doing. I think they very much do care what other teams are doing. And really, France are the obvious other ones, which I would have France down as favourites for this tournament, just because of what this group of French players have done recently and the amount of finals they've been to, for crying out loud. So you can't underestimate that. I tend not to put too much stock in what the bookies are saying, but I just think, yeah, I don't think it changes too much with regards to the feeling around this England team. The expectation is big. I think the knives are out for Southgate already, with so many people thinking...
Yeah, we saw that. We mentioned that last time,
indeed,
didn't we?
Indeed, we will, and we will come on to that in the second half with our listeners' questions. So, I'm very excited for another tournament, and I am very hopeful that England can go far in this.
So absolutely, and I feel the same. And I think that the thing that... When I said to you, oh, yeah, will it affect the players and that kind of thing, I didn't expect the answer to be yes. But I do think what does affect the players and what will be part of the mindset this time in a way that perhaps was present last time but wasn't present the two tournaments before that Southgate's managed. It's just that there will be a feeling of this is really kind of take a shit or get off the pot time. No one really knows what will happen to Southgate after this tournament. It will depend on the outcome, of course, but it'll also, there will be a feeling like he's laid the foundations, he's laid the groundwork, he's achieved an awful lot. But if it's a non-win, if it's, you know, if England, whatever stage they get to, if they don't win, it'll be a case of, yeah, thanks very much probably, and thanks for the memories and all the rest of it. And if they do win, I think it's a dead cert that he'll go personally, right? So that will play on the minds of the players, I think. But other than that, what we always have to do is kind of counsel a bit of caution with everyone listening to this, because as we repeatedly say, and it's not just a case in international tournaments, it's a case in things like the Champions League or any kind of high-profile cup competition, it can turn and hinge on the tiniest of events and the tiniest of moments. It's not like a 38-game domestic season where you can, you know, hang your hat on it and say, yep, they were the best team, or yep, they deserve to get relegated. This comes down to moments. And the great example of that will be the World Cup we saw 18 months ago. You know, England go out to France, a game that hinges on little margins. They play France earlier than they would have liked to, and they end up going out. On another day, England could have won that game. You know, there's no, and when you get to that kind of situation, you're really talking about an awful long time of preparation and groundwork being laid and practice and training and tactics and everything. And a lot of it comes down to things that can't be controlled. So, you know, the example would be, of course, in the England-France game, the penalty that Harry Kane misses. Every single person listening to this who cares about England probably would have had Harry Kane taking that penalty. Right, they would probably say now, if England get a key penalty again, they'll have Harry Kane taking it. So my point just can be that these things can hinge on these little moments. And so it's not worth worrying too much about whether they win it. It's worth worrying about whether they do the best they can and put themselves in a position where they give themselves the best chance to win it.
And of course, if England do get a penalty, Kane will take it. And hopefully this time, Jude Bellingham will give him a bit of encouragement before he takes
rather than the old off-putting.
Rather than what we assume what he was trying to do when Bayern played Real Madrid the other night. And
that was fair enough, though, wasn't it?
I made the point on...
I haven't heard your take on it yet, so
I made the point on Wednesday's Ramble that Harry Kane, being the type of man he is, I don't think he'll give that a second's thought after. Whereas maybe previous England penalty takers might have said to somebody in the England camp, "Oi, what was that all that about?"
Oh, for sure. If that had happened back in the day.
Like, I think I would even go as far as say, I could imagine, say, Alan Shearer saying that, who was England's penalty taker before, saying it to a, you know, an opposition, a fellow England teammate, if they were on each other.
Besides, that is massively just what Bellingham's like anyway.
Yeah, they're against each other on the pitch. I don't think anybody's going to lose any sleep over that. But they will be united when they play for England, of course. So England's last outings was a 1-0 defeat to Brazil and then a 2-2 draw with Belgium. That man, Jude Bellingham, scoring a very, very late equaliser. I think that the Belgium game displayed England's attacking talent a lot more. I think against Brazil, they were cautious. They tried to experiment a little bit. They did with Belgium because they had to, because the aforementioned Kane wasn't there. How did you feel about England after those two games? We've spoken about it a little bit, but with a bit more hindsight and with the with the bookies as the wind in your sails, Luke, how do you feel now about those last two games?
I feel roughly similar to what I felt at the time. I think it was quite an interesting situation because what England did for periods, as you've just alluded to there, is they took the handbrake off a bit, and it felt to me almost a bit like Southgate saying to fans in the politest way possible, because he's the most polite man on the planet, this is what you wanted, and if this is what you want, this is what you'll get, right? Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, I do.
If we play against a good team and you think that our players are this good and that we can blow everyone away, this is what will possibly and probably happen. And whether we aesthetically like it or not, we have to understand that more often than not, what wins trophies, and that in England, given the history and given the tradition of football in this country and given how long it's been, that's immortality, right? We're basically talking about immortality. It's impossible to overstate how much of a big deal it'll be if England men win the Euros or the World Cup. So we're talking about immortality. The prize doesn't really get higher in sport. And what Southgate knows to be the case is that the teams that generally tend to win it are the teams that are robust and don't make stupid mistakes and keep themselves rigorously defensively minded. Now, the counter-argument to that, of course, is, well, England haven't got the players to do that. They can't be defensively minded because they're not good enough at the back. But what at least definitely the Belgium game and certainly portions of the Brazil game showed us was that if we don't take care of our responsibilities, we can't have fun. You can't have a mullet without the sensible bit at the front. If it's just a big party at the back, it's just long hair. It's not a mullet. England need to be a mullet. And they need to take into account the fact that a mullet involves having a sensible front portion of the haircut. So everyone listening to this who wants Southgate and England to be crazily entertaining, don't forget your responsibilities, you know. It's not a lovely Friday night beer if you've not worked hard all week. And we have to remember that. So that's how I feel about those two games. I also feel that it was good that England got to experiment a bit. And I would also extrapolate that out and say they also got to experiment a bit against Malta and against North Macedonia. Neither team will be ever troubling the leaders when it comes to European success. But it was an opportunity, given England's strong showing in the qualification, they were able to experiment a bit there as well. So what we should be expecting is for England to go into this opening game of the Euros with a lot of knowledge about what they can do and what they can't do. And the only caveat to that is just the availability of the players, because you can't control the injuries and the availability. So that's broadly how I feel about it. How about you?
No, I think you're absolutely right. If I was to try and elaborate on that, I would end up just echoing your thoughts there. I think the defence is a problem, or it's an area of concern, rather. Problem is probably too strong a word. And I think that opposition sides will be fully aware of this, and they're the areas that they will try to exploit with England. And I think if England try to say, you know what, we're going to keep the ball and we're just going to push you back, that would be lovely, but as Belgium showed, England could be caught on the break. Now, yes, England's back line against Belgium will not be their starting back line, but there's still a point there. You know, England don't have a lot of pace at the back. They rely heavily on Kyle Walker. And I think I speak on behalf of the nation when I say that thank goodness Vinicius Jr. is not involved in this tournament. Because, you know, it's ridiculous. But, you know, you could sub him out for killing Mbappe in this conversation. But something that I do find a little bit intriguing was Eric Dier playing for Bayern Munich in a Champions League semi-final. Gave a decent account of himself. I think was man of the match against Arsenal when they won nil, or certainly one of the players.
He was certainly a standout performer for sure.
Yeah, he is playing the highest level of football that's on offer to anybody. And he is in there. I know Bayern are not, they're not in a great moment at this time, but they're still in latter stages Champions League. They could still lift the trophy, for crying out loud, and Eric Dier would be a part of that team. He's not been in the England squad much of late. He was at the World Cup in Qatar. He missed out on the last Euros. He was in the previous World Cup, and I'll even chuck in the Nations League. So by and large, he has been in Southgate's plans. Would it be the worst thing in the world if he was given the nod? Or did you feel that Southgate kind of knows what he knows about Eric Dier and has kind of moved on? Because there are some players that Southgate will not go back and think of. People talking about Ross Barkley or maybe even Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and you think, I think they've had their time and move on. Whereas I personally think Dier is not the most ridiculous name to be called up in that England squad.
Well, first of all, no, I don't think it would be the worst thing to ever happen in the history of the world if he were to be called up.
Quite something if you did.
I'd have to get a bit more of a life, I think. I think the other stuff you talked, the other players you talked about, you mentioned Barkley there and one or two others. A lot of that depends on position. I mean, the point with Barkley as an example would just be that Southgate doesn't need to call him up. I mean, he's never, ever going to cause any problem with anyone, whether it's the press or fans or other players or whatever, by not picking Ross Barkley. I mean, it's the easiest decision in the world to not pick Ross Barkley. It's a massive gamble to pick him. So he's got a luxury there, hasn't he, with those kind of midfield and forward players. I think the best way of answering the Eric Dier question, who's in there already? Okay, now we have to caveat this by talking about, you know, the last squad that England named was for friendlies against Brazil and Belgium, the two games we've just been talking about. So there will be an element of, you know, trying things out, you know, a Lewis Dunk here, a Jarrod Branthwaite there. And so that does muddy the waters a little bit. But I don't think he'll take Lewis Dunk to the Euros, and I've got no personal issue with him whatsoever. But there's not really much of an argument to be taking him ahead of Eric Dier. I don't think there's much of an argument to be taking some other players ahead of him either, chiefly because there's been injuries and there's been experience issues and all the rest of it. I mean, the other, if you basically look at, in 2018, England took 10 defenders, including Trent Alexander-Arnold. Mm-hmm. In 2020, they took 10. And in 2022, they took 9, including Trent Alexander-Arnold. Now, of course, I'm including fullbacks in that. So you're really looking at around... and by the way, I should mention that 2020 and 2022 were 26-man squads, right? Which is what we expect this one to be as well.
So it's also reflected on the formations they were playing, often with the back three and wing-backs and so on.
Right. So, but I think it's fair to say they're probably going to pick 9 or 10 defenders, right? The current thinking would be that. I mean, can you name... How many of those will be centre-back? 4? Right? Can you name 4?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, he may well name... I would have thought he named maybe 8, 9 defenders. But even so, yeah, your point is sound. He'll take 4, probably centre-halves, maybe 5. But if Stones is in there, Maguire will go. And then after that, you kind of think, well, actually, you know, Joe Gomez, who I rate as a centre-half very highly, he's not down as a centre-half. He's a full-back. Konsa would be one, maybe. Southgate's used him a little bit of late, and I think, you know, he's a good player. But you start naming players. I mean, even Mark Gay, who Southgate has used, and I think Gay's injury could rule him out. Will he be match fit and so on?
He's apparently going to be back eligible for selection next week.
But it's slim pickings from now on. Dier is playing in the Champions League semi-final. I don't know whether any of these other defenders we're going to mention will ever play in a game that big. They might do, and I wish them all the best with their careers. But there he is, and also has great England experience. I didn't think I would be saying this a number of months ago. No disrespect to Dier, but again, I'd kind of moved on from him, really, in terms of England. But there he is, playing for one of the biggest teams in European football, and he's putting in respectable performances, and he's also fit and raring to go.
Yeah, and he's also got, I think, 47 caps.
Yeah.
And if you look at, which is obviously an incredible amount of experience, if you look at the other defenders, look at the defenders that went in 2022, mm-hmm. You've got Walker and Shaw. These are football. We'll go through them all just very quickly. Sure. Walker and Shaw, they're going to go. I mean, we'll talk about Shaw probably a bit later, but he's probably going to be fit, thankfully. And if he has no relapse, he's going to go. Stones will go. Maguire will go. The others, Trippier will go, right? Mm. The others were Dyer, Cody, Trent Alexander-Arnold, and Ben White. Yeah. But you've already lost Cody and White. Yep. They're gone.
Trent is now as a midfield player.
You're also going to, yeah, exactly. And you're also going to lose Phillips and Henderson. Mm. Sorry, not Henderson. Henderson's not, but my point is Henderson nowhere near as impactful a player in the holding midfield role as he was for in the past. So you're losing a bit of experience there as well. Yeah. And you're going to lose Phillips. So maybe if you have got to bring, there's going to be a decent amount of turnover of defensive players in the England squad going into this tournament. Perhaps it is tempting to go, do you know what? Dyer's been around it for ages. Mm. He's got 47 caps. Yeah. It's not going to faze him. He's playing in the latter stages of the Champions League. Mm. When I started going through this argument in my mind this morning when prepping for this show, I properly convinced myself that he'll go.
Yeah. Well, I've convinced myself now that he should go, quite frankly. Mm. And it doesn't, again...
He's mates with Harry Kane.
He's mates with Harry Kane.
Who wants to take the Harry Kane bullet and sit next to him on the coach? Eric will do it.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. Squad harmony is huge. And also, Eric Dyer has taken penalties for England in shootouts and he scored them.
Narrowly scored one against Colombia. That was a heart stopper of a penalty.
It went in.
It did go in.
I'm already nervous thinking about bloody penalties. Let's change the subject entirely now. Yeah. Now, reports last week indicate that England will be served at their resort in Germany, which is a very fancy resort, by the way, as you would hope. I think it's costing the FA $800,000 to hire the whole place for the England team. And
sounds
incidentally,
like the all-inclusive my wife maybe go on in about March.
Well, incidentally, the German national team are staying there for the 2 weeks before the tournament.
Yeah.
So... I don't know if they're going to put some little...
I mean, to be fair, in their, they have got a lot of work to do, though.
Are they going to put a lot of booby traps in there? That's what I want to know. Where's Harry Kane? Oh, he's dangling from a net that someone... he flicked the trip wire and we're in trouble. Well, so England are staying at the Weimar Land Golf Resort. And this is intriguing. One of the restaurants, you can be served by a robot. It collects plates. It speaks in German. And
well, it would do, wouldn't it? It's in Germany.
Well, but I think it's a robot, though, so you can program any language in it, Luke.
But why would you program any other language when you're in Germany?
Oh, don't leave the robot alone. It's got its headphones in because it's listening to Linguaphone or whatever it's called.
Here's the robot. Can I talk to it? Yeah. Do you speak Dutch? No, I'm in Germany. Pointless. Of course it speaks German. That's not the takeaway from this.
It's not the takeaway, although apparently if you do try to speak to the robot, it sometimes replies, please leave me alone, I'm trying to get on with my work, which is quite rude, I find.
That's actually very German, though, isn't it? I can't be the only one thinking that, flash forward to some kind of botched meal service by the robot and Jude Bellingham grabbing it around the throat just shouting, behave yourself in its face, behave yourself, behave
well,
yourself.
Well, I thought to myself, is this robot going to... start serving up, you know, uncooked meat and all the rest of it. It's got a recorder in there. It's picking up tactical stuff. So
Is the robot Sammy Lee?
I hope not.
In it, just in a big robot suit.
If it starts handing Werther's originals to Sam Allardyce, then we know we're...
We need to make sure this robot can be trusted. I think you're making the right point there.
Thank you.
That is an absolute hotbed for potential espionage.
Exactly. We should trust in the owner of the hotel, Matthias Graffer, who says, the German team wanted to be based at my hotel, but they have been obliged to work with their Adidas sponsors. So we're delighted to welcome England instead. I have always said I'm only interested in having one team here, the team that wins the Euros, and I believe that team will be England. Matthias is on board!
He's a double agent. He has to be. He's been singularly tasked with making England overconfident for this tournament, and he's doing a bloody good job.
He's doing an excellent job, and well played, Germany.
It also shows, by the way, how little Germany care about England when it comes to football compared to us caring about them.
All right, coming up in the second half, we've got your questions and the take thermometer. See you in a moment.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I am Sven-Göran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to Lions Watch, everybody. All right, it's now time for the return of the Take Thermometer.
Yeah, every week on Lions Watch, we sense check the latest big opinions on our patented Take Thermometer. It's a fairly self-explanatory idea. It's something that a pundit, player or coach has said regarding the England men's team, spot on or a load of bollocks. Now, previously, we ranked this using the five hottest chilies in the world. It was a bit confusing. It was my idea, I'll be honest. I didn't think it through. So we're going to make it a lot more simple, aren't we, Marcus?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we needed to redesign the system. So how about in honour of all footballers' favourite restaurant and England's finest ever fan, we have the scale, obviously, way down the bottom, lemon and herb.
Yeah.
All right. We move up to mild, then medium, and then hot. And for particularly spicy takes, flare up the arse.
So the best takes are going to be named by us as flare up the arse takes.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah, I'm up for that. Why not? It sounds like the sort of thing we would normally do. That guy's got a play in the West End now, I think.
Well, yeah, about him. He's not turned his life around and written a play.
Does he need to turn his life around? What, just because he shoved something up his arse once? Is he hit rock bottom there? Pun intended. Or was it all the big elaborate play for him to eventually get his own West End theatre production?
I'm guessing that there are some things he needs to reassess, but that's not one of them.
We're honouring him here anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If he doesn't have a plaque up by the end of the summer, then
it's a scandal. So shall I deliver this week's take?
Far away.
It comes from Fabio Capello. Remember him?
I do.
Fabio Capello. The headline is this: Fabio Capello believes England can clinch Euros glory this summer, but they have one glaring problem: the goalkeeper.
Oh.
Yep, former England manager Fabio Capello was speaking at the Laureus World Sports Awards in Madrid, and he said, "I like England. Midfield is good. Forwards are really good. Right and left defenders is good. I have some doubts about these two centre-backs and some doubts about the goalkeeper. Sometimes he's really, really good. Sometimes it's a problem. I saw the game that they lost against Italy, the final at Wembley. After 20 minutes, he started to shoot long ball. Is this fear?" What do you think, Marcus? Capello thinks that Pickford is a big, weak, big old fat weak link for England.
Mm.
And if he was training him still, he'd be denying him ketchup all over the gaff.
I think it's a medium take.
Interesting, because my verdict is a bit different, but you carry on.
Well, the centre-half situation we just spoke about there with Eric Dier coming in and with Pickford, although for England he has been very good. The reason why I think it's a medium take is because I think I don't fully agree, but I can't dismiss it because it is the thing that we are talking about, especially at centre half as well. And with Pickford, you know, we saw the mistake he made against Belgium. I just hope that he's not going to do anything like that in a tournament. And to be fair, he has been very good for England in tournaments. So ultimately, I just get where he's coming from with this.
Okay, fine.
With Capello.
So my verdict is it's a lemon and herb take.
Do you think so?
I think it's a poor take, and I'll tell you why.
Right.
I'll address the Belgium thing first. First and foremost, it's a friendly match. You know, Pickford, you would certainly remember better than me, but I can't think of a glaring error he's made in the tournament for England, Pickford, right?
No.
And he's got a good amount of caps now, uh-huh. Right? And he's got, whatever it is, 60-odd caps now, mm-hmm. Right? For me, this just feels like an old-fashioned, like, outdated take. Mm-hmm. I do concede that centre-back and, you know, fullback's fine. The only issue with England around fullbacks is problems of availability, problems of injury. If you've got mm-hmm. players fit and firing, it's a strong strong part of the field for England.
Yeah.
So the centre-backs thing I'll accept. If he had just said centre-backs, I would have been like, this is a good take.
I suppose so. Maybe that's clouding my judgment with the medium take. So maybe I'm edging towards mild then.
Mild, okay, fine. Pickford's actually a huge part of a pretty good defensive unit at Everton this season overall.
Mm.
And, you know, even when England, I mean, the other thing is, if you just take it for an England context, even when England went through that terrible Nations League campaign, I don't think he played in any of the defeats, did he? It was Pope or Ramsdale who was being picked at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He might have played in one or two of the draws, but he certainly didn't play when England had these. He wasn't playing like the Hungary game, for example.
Yeah,
when England were battered,
mm-hmm.
And I think the England goalkeeping issue is pretty much settled now. I just don't really see that much talk about it. I think that we probably won't talk about it as much as we have done in previous Lions Watch series. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I think it's either Capello's got a bit of an axe to grind still because he didn't enjoy his time at England and it didn't go well, or he's just an old bloke who doesn't watch England that much anymore. And even the thing he references is a final from like 3 years ago. So to me, it just feels like a pretty poor take. I'm going lemon and herb, baby.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I mean, when he starts thinking about the long balls Pickford were playing in that final, perhaps Pickford looked at the defenders and saw the fear in their eyes and
maybe
thought, well, I've been trying to give you the ball and so on. No, I think that's fair, actually. Do you know what, Luke? I'm gonna hand that one to you. I think it's lemon and herb.
Lemon and herb, Capello. We started off the take thermometer with the most tepid of takes possible. let's see if it improves in future episodes.
Mm. Right then, it's now time for some listener questions, everybody. Luke, you've got the first one.
I have. Here we go. From Joe Cowles. And by the way, I should say that everyone we're about to read out today has either emailed us, show@footballramble.com, or tweeted us on X @footballramble, or is a member of our Patreon program. So if you want to be involved, you've got to do one of those things. First up, Joe Cowles. Do you think the negativity surrounding Southgate hurts England? It seems like the press and the public are just waiting for him to fail. Now, we did cover that a little bit in the most previous episode. But Joe also adds, Jude Bellingham's comments after the Belgium game seem to suggest the players sense it too. It feels a bit like a return to the dark days of us against them. I think that's overstating it, but I do think it's worth talking about. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I don't think it really hurts England. I think the press and England will always have that relationship somewhat. I think it was good in 2018. Although there was that moment, wasn't there, when one of the press snapped, or papped rather, one of the England coaches, which had like some of the tactics and the formations and all on one of the pieces of paper, and they published it. And I think it was Carl Walker, among one or two others, who said, look, come on, guys, can you help us? You know, because that doesn't really...
Yeah, I remember that. That was ahead of the World Cup, I think.
Yeah.
2018.
2018, yeah. That kind of pally relationship, I don't think ever truly existed. I think it was definitely better, and I think the way England handled themselves was better. And of course, if you get on with the journalists and you are more open to them, then you are going to take the edge off that relationship. I'm not sure that the press are particularly negative with Southgate. I think they have been a little bit. I think it's the fans. I think the fans are demanding so much, as I said at the start. So I think this will actually probably help focus Southgate a little bit more. I think some of the negative press and some of the questioning he didn't like was actually around Jordan Henderson, and Southgate seemed to be getting annoyed about that.
Yeah, and I, do you think the public are waiting for him to fail? Do you think that's accurate from Joe?
I don't know if they're waiting for him to fail. I think they have lost patience, or a
just
lot of people have lost
patience. Right?
I mean, think about the poll we did on the road. Do you trust Southgate to get the best out of these players? What was it, like 79 or 80% said no, which I was a little bit surprised about. I think that people have sort of thought about England and thought, right, enough's enough, we need a trophy now. Now, I don't agree with that because it's a tournament, right? As you said at the start, it's not a 38-game season. But I think the feeling is, oh, England can go so far, but they can never get over the line. Well, of course, the only way you can address that is to win a trophy. But of course, one team can win the trophy, and there's so much jeopardy and stuff out of your control. So waiting for him to fail, I think some of the public are definitely waiting for him to move on because they clearly think someone else can get the better out of these players. If he was to win the trophy this summer, I think he would be mad to stay. So I think whatever happens, sure. I think this will be his last tournament. So I think that maybe some of the public are definitely waiting for him to move on, I would say.
Cool, all right. Yeah, no, fair enough. What's the next question?
So the next question from Mr. Raffles, who says, if you could add any retired England player from your lifetime to the current squad, who would it be?
Straight away, Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah. 100%. Do you know where I went? I went with Big Sol over Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah, so I mean, basically any really good centre-back. I would argue that Rio Ferdinand suits what's happening now more than Sol does. I think Rio Ferdinand's much more comfortable with the ball at his feet, can be relied upon to you know, pick out the right pass and be dynamic in starting off counter-attacks and all the rest of it. He was much... I mean, Rio Ferdinand, I think, is the best Premier League defender I've seen, even still now. So I would have him straight away. The only other one I could think of was when I was just getting a little bit vexed about England. But before I read that Luke Shaw will probably be back for the Arsenal game, and then hopefully he'll have no relapse against Newcastle and Brighton, which are, you know, Manchester United's last two games, and then we'll be okay. I was thinking about Stuart Pearce quite a lot.
Go on.
Because he was like, yeah, he was good for England, you know, and he played a lot. But I think overall it'd be Rio Ferdinand. What about this one from Ryan on the Discord? He says, what happens when England crash out and Scotland make a run and become European champions? Will Marcus be found in Edinburgh draped in a soul tie, carrying a bacon bucket, talking about his aunt's giddiness?
I doubt my aunt will be giddy because she's from south of the border.
Yeah.
Although she does...
She might be giddy on your behalf if you had gone up there.
Yeah,
and
she does like a good underdog story. I mean, look, if I can fill up the bucket with bacon and put my lab coat back on and there's money to be made, then might give it a go. Try and power this economy back
Absolutely.
To the glory
Someone's
days.
Someone's got to do it.
Well,
what's the price for smoked and unsmoked again?
Well, I mean, I'd imagine inflation will have had its say here, but back in the, what would it be, early mid-90s, unsmoked was £1.48 and smoked was £1.52.
There you go. Yeah. Can't argue with those kind of
prices. So that may have gone up a couple of quid.
There you go, Ryan.
Know.
You heard that exclusively from the horse's mouth. He's not ruling it out by the
Not ruling it out. I could see what Scotland... I could see Scotland going on a run like Wales did in 2016.
Well, Marcus, I can confidently say, as someone who has some Scottish heritage, I can confidently say there's more chance of you becoming an absolutely brilliant bacon salesman than there is of Scotland winning the Euros this summer. So
again.
I don't think it'll matter too much.
Becoming a brilliant bacon salesman again.
Again, sorry, again, yeah. Going, rolling back the years
and
giving people a treat as to how good you used to be, yeah.
I was unrivaled. Now, this from Jared to finish the show. Is the cough contagious? Because I'm getting a fever.
Oh, we're all getting a fever, Jared. We're all getting a fever. Pete was saying to me on WhatsApp the other day that he's had a fever for about 3 months about it.
It's crazy,
he's well
isn't
into it?
I'd like to think that Jared is a Leicester City fan. We've got our business out of the way.
Yeah.
We're good. We're just looking forward to the summer. Because, I mean, Jared, I love this. There's still a Premier League title up for grabs. There's still, at the time of recording, three teams in it. Just. Still a Champions League. There's still Europa League. There's still FA Cup. Bollocks to all that.
Yeah.
Get to the summer.
Speaking of Leicester, I'd love the idea of, like, you know, Southgate doing some kind of a big unveiling with a load of players there with blankets over their heads. Mm. Who the striker's going to be making it into the squad? Or is it Ollie Watkins under the blanket? Is it Ivan Toney? Who is it behind the big sheet? Is that Jamie Vardy?
Yeah, now you're talking.
One last rodeo. 37-year-old Jamie Vardy. A new contract with Leicester in one mitt. Yeah. An England cap in the other mitt. Gorgeous. Off we go.
Yeah.
It would keep the shit out of that German robot.
Yeah, he would. He certainly
would.
He'd
be pouring Red Bull in his fucking head.
Let's see what you got now. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We're back tomorrow with the preview show. Of course, talking about club football while it's still going. Follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Nice one, Lukey Moore.
Thank you very much, guys. Great to be up and running again. See you next time.
Lovely old job.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.